Mike, turn your games down.
Hi, we're going to have a movie episode of Games My Mom Found. I am Mike Helberton, and who's with me tonight?
This is Joe Butler, and it's the car, right? Chicks dig the car.
Hey, everybody, this is Kenneth Sanity, and with me, as always, is a nice glass of boiling acid.
And I'm Bill Tucker from A Gamer Looks at 40. And does anybody else feel like a fried egg?
So we are here, unfortunately, because of Patreon. You guys voted this movie, or both this movie and the sequel we'll be talking about another day. Batman Forever, directed by Joe Schumacher, and came out in 1995.
Wow, has it really been that long?
Yeah, I saw this in theaters as a kid. And I remember as a kid, I liked this movie.
I have a weird history with this movie.
I cannot wait to hear this.
Because I liked it, and then I hated it, and then I think I've come back around on liking it. Maybe.
Okay. This is more of a Ken movie at times, so.
Your skepticism is warranted. I have a long history with this as well. My dad was really into Batman. Like, I would say he was probably his favorite. I don't know if he was into comic books or not, but he was really into the old Batman TV shows. Batman was the first PG-13 movie I ever saw, because I think I was maybe 10 at the time. We got it on videotape the second it came out. So I saw this in theaters with my dad. And I think I've told this story before on this podcast, but this is the movie where, as the lights were going down in the theater and everything was getting quiet, one person towards the front of the room in a packed opening weekend theater screamed, "Are you ready for the Batman?" And everybody just started dying. It was just as the lights, it was a formative moment of somebody just saying something really funny in public. I don't know, but it was, and they didn't say a word for the rest of the movie. It was perfectly timed. It wasn't like they were rambunctious or ruined anything. I remember liking this a lot. I've seen this movie easy 70 times. I can't, it's countless times. Damn. I've seen this over the years. Oh yeah. This was one of the tapes I had that my dad had. It was on my dad's tapes. And I watched this constantly. You know, also, to be honest, Drew Barrymore didn't hurt either. I've seen this movie countless times. And upon seeing it today, last night, I am struck by how much I do like this and don't like this, because I do think this is a very poor. This is a rocky road that is saved by some really fun performances. And at the end of the day, I'll always just lean towards I liking this movie more than I dislike it. But boy, oh boy, you are not wrong. If you watch this, and you're like, what is this junk? this is a very shoddily made movie. In my opinion, at least. But we'll get into those pieces.
How I felt. And Joe, what is your history with this film?
I hate that Bill mentioned that, because I have my own very specific. I brought up a very specific memory of when I saw episode 8, because I'm from Texas, and I've moved more south towards the end of the year, and I saw episode 8, and whenever Kylo Ren betrayed Rey, and the theater got quiet, in the most southern accent you could hear, you just hear a guy go, "He's got that damn Vader blood in him." And the whole theater busted out laughing.
Oh, that's funny.
But I have a very sad story for this, which is really weird that we all have very specific. I grew up watching Batman in diapers. I very specifically remember being in diapers. And it's weird to think that my parents let a 2 to 3 year old me watch this movie or watch the first two Batman movies ever since we've watched them. And I'm like, oh, these movies are really dark. But I remember my parents being like, oh, hey, Batman Forever is finally in the dollar theater, because we were kind of poor. And my dad being like, let's go take you and your sister to go see it, because I want to say it was maybe my birthday. And my parents took me to go see it. We had a good time in the theater. I've also told the story on the podcast too, where we went to go see it. My parents took me to the store to buy a bunch of toys and stuff like that. And we came home and someone broke into our apartment and stole our VCR. So all the Batman movies I bought, I couldn't even fucking watch.
That's fucking shitty. I think that's horrible.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah.
That's the thing. If you're going to steal from a corporation. They'll get over it. Don't kill people,
right?
Okay?
And it's funny, because I just talked to my dad a day to confirm it. And my dad's like 75. I tell him that. He's like, you remember that? And I go, yeah, why? And he goes, oh, I remember when that happened too. And I swear it was one of the neighbors, because he says the day before we went out, there was a guy outside casing the place and looking around and stuff. So And he's like, and it was summer, and you leave your windows open in the 90s, stuff happens.
Yeah. That's what people do. I mean, a neighbor is an easy person because you can just get the fuck out and be like, yeah, I was just looking around. I saw this, heard all this noise. Well, I wonder what's going on. As long as you're not caught in the house, they're not going to think it's you. Mm-hmm. You have an alibi. You live next door. That happened to my parents got robbed once on a New Year's Day, and because they were out visiting me, and people, they think right next door broken because, hey, you don't have very far to go. You jump over the fence and you're back home. But yes, that is shitty. But hey, what you said that I was thinking of, hey, well, Ken was watching frickin' Hellraiser and Halloween when he was like 2 or 3. So that's okay. Is that right, Ken? Somewhere around there?
3 or 4, but, you know, whatever. Who's counting?
You really? Come on now.
It's still trauma.
Time is a construct. Come on. We all know.
There's also a very specific scene that I'm actually going to go very in-depth to, and I hope it makes all y'all laugh, because it's very funny.
So this movie's strange in a lot of different ways, like, for those, because this is a sequel to the Tim Burton movies, but at the same time, it's like a reboot, but not.
It's very supposed odd. To be straight up, like, taking place right after Batman Returns, supposed like to. We wouldn't notice.
Is it really? I never place this in the lineage. I always think of this as a standalone thing. This and Batman and Robin. And is it really intended to be that close?
Yeah. Chase Meridian directly references Catwoman.
True, oh, yeah. You're right. She does. Yes, you're right.
Same Commissioner Gordon, same Alfred.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you're just supposed to be like, well, all it. Right, then.
It, this also goes in the belief that Batman and Harvey Dent are very good friends.
Oh, what could have been?
It doesn't do a lot with that. And it's just like I'm watching this, we're talking, and you find out what kind of movie you're in for right in the opening when Batman suits up and he's about to leave and Alfred says, do you want to take a sandwich? No, I'll have drive-through. You automatically know what kind of movie you're in for.
Yep.
And that's because that actually specific line is taken for the like Burger King or McDonald's commercial they had back then.
McDonald's. It was a McDonald's commercial, I'm pretty confident. Yeah, it was from McDonald's. You saw that. This movie, I think people have to realize, or maybe people don't realize, I don't know how old your listening audience is, but people forget what it was like in the mid-90s. Batman, this was a huge, huge movie. I mean, this was the blockbuster to end all blockbusters. It was a big deal movie. And we'll talk about the different actors in it later as we go through it. But this was a media blitz that was insane. So you had your McDonald's, you had toys, you had all of these different elements to it that I think just added to the fervor.
We had cups.
Yes, yep. I had the cups. The cups are still in my parents' house, I'm pretty sure.
Yes, fine china.
The frosted mugs. Yeah, they're still there.
And I still got my McDonald's glasses.
Also, the reason, like, I was watching a lot of YouTube videos before this recording. McDonald's is the reason why we got this campy movie instead of what?
Yep.
Because they were so upset with Batman Returns.
Mm-hmm. That was something I was going to bring up. They were upset by the tone, and honestly, who can blame them?
I was upset with the tone, too.
Like, having a sex pest in your movie, never a good idea. Not as an actor, but as a character.
Yeah.
Like,
especially when you're aiming it for kids. Huh?
Yeah, you can't really blame them. Originally, this was going to be darker. Like, it was going to explore grief and dual identities as, you know, there's a reason Two-Face is in this movie. There was a bunch of scenes that were cut out that explore the choice that Bruce Wayne makes, whether or not he has a choice or whether it's an obsession to be Batman. And if he's willing to give it up, it treads really similar ground to Mask of the Phantasm, where Bruce Wayne is so close to giving it up.
Yeah, but, good movie.
And this could have been. That was the movie Joel Schumacher wanted to make.
It's okay, Ken. At least the comic exists.
Yeah, it does.
Evidently, there is a 170-minute Schumacher cut of Batman Forever that exists out there in the world that I don't know if it's ever been shown. Evidently, Kevin Smith owns it. It has been shown. Okay.
Yeah, Kevin Smith actually has shown it a couple times now.
Okay. So he has.
Oh, so it's on the internet somewhere?
Probably, but I don't sail the seas anymore, so I wasn't going to find it.
Okay, I don't sail those seas. I wouldn't know. But that's cool.
I don't have 170 minutes to see Batman Forever, so
I would give my time for it.
I don't think I would, because probably all the stuff that's going to be really, really, I don't know.
You know what didn't make the cut? Boiling acid.
Boiling acid. There is a little bit of boiling acid. Cut.
No, that line, that horrible ADR line.
Oh, yeah. That terrible line.
Not in the Schumacher cut.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Well, how else would we explain the fact that there's acid in a safe that contains money, and where's this acid coming from, removed from the whatever? Okay.
I didn't even know that was boiling acid. I was watching this movie last night. I watched the movie in two parts. I didn't even catch that.
You don't remember the guy's glasses falling off and him going and then him just exclaiming boiling acid?
No, I don't remember that.
It's boiling acid. Batman, like, no.
Exactly how
I mean, this movie is so very good impersonation.
And
so cartoony.
See, and here's the weird thing about Batman Forever. I am actually here for corny, silly Batman movie. And this is what a lot of people didn't like this when it came out, because we were so used to the Tim Burton movies. Which, by the way, this is a Tim Burton produced movie, which his fingerprints are nowhere near it. I don't think he was on the same continent. He was nowhere near this. I can't imagine Tim Burton being cool with this, except for maybe the final shot when it's Dr. Burton in Arkham Asylum. that smacks of Tim Burton to me. But other than that, there is nothing else in this. Anyway, we were not conditioned. We were not allowed to have fun with Batman. Batman was not allowed to be fun in the mid-90s. Now, I don't remember when the animated series was out. I never watched the animated series.
92.
Was it 92? So we were having some fun then, I guess, with Batman. I guess live-action Batman, we were not allowed to have fun with then. Okay. So live-action Batman, we were not allowed to have fun. It was dark and gritty, and it was the Tim Burton stuff. So when Schumacher's like, hey, let's make this more like the 50s, like the 40s and the 50s, and have everybody talking one-liners, and have it really blacklight and day-glow and bright and shiny. I like that aesthetic. I think it's a very fun, campy aesthetic that I'm actually here for. If only they had picked a better actor for Batman, because boy, oh boy, is Val Kilmer. He's a decent Batman, and he is a miserably bad Bruce Wayne. Oh boy, that man is a charmless. He's devoid of charm.
I like Val Kilmer's Batman only because I feel like it's what Batman thinks he sounds like.
I like Val Kilmer in this too. I was surprised to say that, but I actually as I was watching this movie, I'm like, okay, Val Kilmer's not bad.
He doesn't capture the goofy awkwardness of Bruce Wayne. Bruce Wayne's supposed to be like this shut in billionaire, and my brain's not stopped working. Original
he's
Batman.
Much more like he's very awkward in this movie. I mean, it's just going for a different tone, because the whole idea with Bruce Wayne in this and what Val Kilmer is playing is you have a character who's battling with the fact that he doesn't want to be Batman, even though that storyline really
not.
Isn't here.
You don't see that, though. The movie tells you these things. No, the movie tells you this, but you can't see that on his face because he has no ability to emote or project any emotion whatsoever.
I think that worked for me.
I beg to differ.
Have you not seen
Tombstone?
I have not seen Tombstone in a very long time. It's been
Kilmer is a great actor.
Oh, I don't doubt he's
really is.
He was good in Heat, if I remember. I think he was. Yeah. He's done some good work. But I'm saying in this situation for me, he is like this blank slate of granite that has there. When him and Nicole Kidman are sharing a screen, it is like I don't know, like posing isotopes, just they cancel each other out to create this void. They are a black hole charm and black hole of connection. It is, if I had a snap to do on my phone, I would have been snapping during the scenes that they were engaging in any sort of dialogue.
There is actually a really good reason for that.
Okay.
Joel Schumacher and Val Kilmer hated each other.
That's exactly the kind of dynamic you want for your fun Batman movie. Of course, a few people who loathe each other.
Didn't they work together in a different movie or something?
I don't think so.
Why did they dislike each other so much?
They did not just mesh well. Personality conflicts up the ass. Like, Schumacher called Kilmer childish and impossible. So, like, they did not have a good time on set. Jim Carrey and Tommy Lee Jones did not have a good time on set. Like, this was just a rough movie.
Boy, oh boy, are those two actors giving it their all, though. They are the polar opposite to Nicole Kidman, who might have been half asleep. She might have had, like, cartoonish eyeballs painted on her eyelids. so she could just stand there and snooze and deliver her lines. Hey, not really.
She was. I love horny Nicole Kidman. I want to fuck Batman. You know what? I was all here for it.
Yeah, yeah. Chase Meridian is very much horny on Maine.
I really liked it.
Well, of course, she's written like that. How else do you think a gay man thinks a straight white woman acts like around Batman?
I mean, there's no lie detected here.
Yeah, this movie's uncontrollably horny, and I've never noticed how gay this movie was.
Oh, my God.
Extraordinarily. Yes.
Yeah.
When I was watching this, I was like, oh, okay. And then I had forgotten that Joel Schumacher is gay. And then I'm like, okay, you can kind of feel it in this movie, too.
Bat nipples.
But they're covered up in this movie.
Yeah, not nearly as pronounced as they are in the next
one. Wait till next movie.
Yeah, not nearly as erect as in the next film.
But Batman being caked up is definitely...
Hell, there's a scene of just the cod piece for his dick. Like, here you go. You can, as he's suiting up, like early at one point in this movie. I'm like, all right.
Yep.
I see where you're going.
And a full-on butt shot. Full-on just bang.
That made me laugh.
Because I had a good old howl at that one. That was so much fun. That was getting, but that is when this movie is fun and silly and goofy and very charming.
And in the event that Chelsea is listening to this episode, Chels, rate those cheeks. We need a number.
I really hope she hears this. I have to tell her. Oh, but no, I like that they do that. Those are some good scenes. I mean, there was good stuff about this movie. I think I just don't like Jim Carrey in general as an actor. And that's an issue for this movie. If you don't like him, you're in the wrong movie.
You are up the creek without a paddle if you don't like Jim Carrey, who I don't know how anyone else feels about Jim Carrey. I still am, I guess. But I was a huge Jim Carrey fan. Me and everybody else on the face of the planet. Again, us oldsters remember back in 1995 how big of a star Jim Carrey was. Jim Carrey was probably the biggest actor in Hollywood. I think he made $25 million for this movie. This is the first time any actor had made $25 million to do anything. He was a very big deal.
And this was just after Ace Ventura, right?
This was in the same. This was a year after Ace Ventura.
Well, that makes right. sense.
How's this for swing and a hit? In 1994, it brought us Ace Ventura, The Mask, and Dumb and Dumber.
Oh.
In 1 year. And then the very next year, we had Batman Forever and Ace Ventura 2. Boy, howdy, did they turn that movie around fast.
Oh, boy.
I saw Ace Ventura When Nature Calls on New Year's Eve in a movie theater. I was by myself. Because my family, we used to go to movies on New Year's Eve before the ball dropped, and nobody else wanted to see Ace Ventura in Nature Calls. And I was the only person in the theater, and it was very odd, half-heartedly laughing, realizing you can be disappointed when movies come out. Just realizing all by myself, disappointments happen in life. It was an early moment of like, huh, life can get sad.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks, Jim Carrey.
Thanks, Jim Carrey. But he was, talk about like hitting home run after home run. I mean, he in the mid to late 90s, he was just hitting balls over the fence. And he is all Jim Carrey in this. And I think he's actually really fun and really good. He's delightfully over the top. I love it. I like his stupid one-liners. I like when he gets serious and maniacal. You can show he actually has some acting chops. He actually does. As you would see in his later films, he actually does have in Truman Show and Eternal Sunshine. He has some chops as well, and Man on the Moon.
Number 23, Dark Crimes.
I like his performance a lot. I think he actually saves this movie. Him and Tommy Lee Jones, who's just there having fun, I guess, but not having fun, being just professional. If he didn't have fun on this movie set, you surely didn't see it in his performance, because that man was going all into.
Do you not know about the sanctioned buffoonery, Phil?
You guys mentioned this on our little channel there, on our message stream. I didn't get a chance to read sanctioned buffoonery. What is this?
Can go.
All right, I'll take this one. So Jim Carrey introduced himself to Tommy Lee Jones. Tommy Lee Jones is not a big Jim Carrey fan. Thought his movies were dumb, which, you know, I get it. But, oh gosh, where is the... Give me one second here. Okay. This was actually said by Jim Carrey in an interview. Jones found him offset during the production and told him, quote, "I hate you. I really don't like you. I cannot sanction your buffoonery.
Oh, wow.
Amazing.
That's like, amazing. I cannot sanction your buffoonery.
Yes. If somebody hates me that much that they have to tell me to my face, I want them to do it that way. I wish somebody hated me
next team stand-up next week for work, I will state at some point, I'm going to find a way to insert. Listen, y'all, I know, I don't have a nice weekend and all, but just be aware, I've heard some words from corporate and I cannot sanction your buffoonery. I cannot sanction it. I will do this. I will record it on a Zoom meeting and then I'll get everyone's permission to send it to y'all so you can just have that drop.
That's great.
I will do this.
I want it. Honestly, I'm glad you enjoyed Jim Carrey in this, especially watching it this time. It did not work for me.
That's fair.
I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just because I've read so many good Riddler appearances in comics and got to deal with, I don't know, whatever that was in the Batman.
That was good.
It was good. I still don't think it was the Riddler, but it was good. This one was just too over the top for me. I couldn't sanction its buffoonery. Tommy Lee Jones's Two-Face. Come the fuck on. So good.
I didn't like it. It's too campy.
Really? Okay.
I didn't like it at all.
It is campy, but let me put forward this. I think this is the result of a Two-Face that isn't in control anymore. Harvey is a voice that is there, but not in charge.
Okay, that's fair.
He only can assert itself every once in a great while. But for the most part, he's been so traumatized and mentally destroyed that he has not died the hero, but has lived long enough to become the villain.
Oh.
You're welcome.
I don't know how I feel about that. I don't know.
So a couple other things with that as well. Was Jim Carrey ever considered a heartthrob in like the 80s or 90s?
Not really. Not really. He was always just the rubber faced comedy guy from In Living Color who then became Ace Ventura.
Joe, what are you going to say?
No. I was going to say it's the Riddler and he's very fruity in this movie. But I just remember being like, the Riddler in this movie could totally get it. In a weird kind of way. But I also really love, like, the idea of having an overly flamboyant, like, supervillain. Because we really don't see that anymore. It's kind of like the whole deal where, like, it's like from Batman Brave and the Bold. Like, the Aquaman's, like, overly, like, hero and charismatic and all that other stuff. And so he's like an 80s superhero. So seeing the Riddler as an actual 80s supervillain is, like, the funniest thing fucking ever. And it's a take that it's kind of like Heath Ledger's Joker where no one's ever done that again, and I'm kind of glad because you really can outdo that performance. And also, Tommy Lee Jones' Two-Face is fine. I think the purple face thing is fine. I just wish they hadn't given him black lipstick. That's where two things I draw the line on that is the black lipstick and the glove on the other hand.
Hey, you know what? First off, this started my decades-long love affair with fingerless gloves, all right? I wear fingerless gloves all the goddamn time. And the reason for that is I started wearing fingerless gloves because of this movie.
I can believe that.
If I may go off on a tangent,
please.
Let me tell you how much I love the Two-Face in this movie. I was in high school when this came out, and a friend of mine worked at Walmart. I bribed him to get me one of the Two-Face figures from this movie because it had the coin.
Oh,
coin's dope.
I still have that coin. I still have that action figure. I made my own Two-Face Halloween costume that year.
Yes. Please let there be a picture of Kenneth Sanity in his Two-Face costume somewhere out there.
Unfortunately, they were all destroyed in the fire, but.
Aw.
Bummer.
So I can't tell if it's a real fire or he just said, no, nobody's seeing that picture.
It's whichever. It doesn't matter. Nope. Same result.
Yes. We'll let that one be a wonderful piece of lore for the show. Was there a fire? Was there not?
We never will know.
Because of this movie, I made every decision in my senior year of high school by a flip of a coin.
That sounds bad, dude.
You have no idea how much fun it was and how much trouble I got in.
I couldn't do that.
It was a horrible idea, but I'm glad I did it.
Oh yeah. Well, it makes for a good story 20 years later, right? I mean, that's nothing else. God damn it. Almost 30. Is it 20 years or 30 years? I don't know. We're dying. It's fine. In high school, I was definitely more Jim Carrey than Tommy Lee Jones. So I think if you and I knew each other, Kenneth Sanity, we would have been a wonderful Riddler Tommy Lee Jones duo, or Riddler Two-Face duo. Cause I knew his script probably verbatim. I saw this movie a lot. I used to practice his staff tricks. I can still probably slide it. I can probably still slide like a staff down the back of my shoulder and catch it at the tip of my hand. I could probably do it. I used to be able to kick up the, you know, do all his like little staff tricks. I practiced those. I used to do all the lines for my friends. And I used to do a really good Jim Carrey impersonation. Don't ask me now. I'm not ready for it. I'm emotionally ready for it. But yeah, I think Canis Sanity, you are the friend I didn't have in high school that I probably needed, because yeah, that was perfect.
I didn't care for either of them. Jim Carrey really rubbed me the wrong way in this movie. I think I'm just too old for that shtick, and I just don't like it anymore. It's just not my. I don't like comedies a whole lot. That has to be kind of stated with me. I don't have a logical reason. I just know I don't.
I will say that Jim Carrey worked for me in the last confrontation.
Okay.
Where he decides to finally get sinister and stop being Ace Ventura. that is when he worked for me.
Yeah, but that was a better scene.
Meh.
See, and I agree with you. I think he's very good. And I think he actually has an arc as a villain, as he gets more and more sinister and more evil. At first, he's very much so just this kind of, it's the capers that they're going on are very, I'll say low stakes, because Tommy Lee Jones and Two-Face is just basically a thug, just robs things, likes to steal things. And Riddler has a plan, a grander plan, where Two-Face just wants to live in a moment and let fortune decide his fate. And yeah, go ahead.
As I say, oh my God, Bill, are you saying they're two sides of the same coin?
Bum, bum, bum. It's very funny, actually.
I'm never appearing on this podcast again.
Ken.
I have one joke that I hope someone says, because I have the funniest line for it. I hope someone mentions it.
Okay.
Should we go through it beat by beat, or?
I don't know. We're already kind of wherever. We'll just go.
We can go beat by beat stuff. I mean, we're just talking about how the Riddler and not the Joker, Riddler and Two-Face, about their appearances and everything. But I mean,
you're not kinda wrong. I know there's a comment that Tommy Lee Jones was kind of just playing his version of the Joker.
Yeah.
And that's part of the issue.
I would watch that, actually.
I would too.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just.
Well, also,
my quirky for me.
Did you say you didn't like Jim Carrey at all? Or in general?
Not now. I did when I was a kid. I saw The Mask. I thought that was funny. I remember I saw H for Ventura. I did not care for that movie, but I was way too young when I saw that. So, I've liked some of his movies off and on, but I think just now I'm not into his type of humor. Mostly into comedy, very much.
Did you see that thing he did for the movie, though, at least?
No.
Ken or Bill probably know what I'm talking about. Who's the female actress in this? The Chase, whatever, whoever?
Nicole Kidman.
Nicole Kidman.
Nicole Kidman and some actor, I think it was Nicole Kidman, were on the MTV Movie Awards, and he kept trying to kiss Nicole Kidman. And I think Jim Carrey won the award for the Riddler. So when he walks up, he just straight up grabs the dude by the face and kisses him on the mouth.
I don't remember this.
Yeah, it's an actual thing where I want to say it's Nicole Kidman, but it's some weird of the time 90s, whatever, 90s. Music maker, whatever, and he's straight up trying to kiss Nicole Kidman on the mouth, and it's really uncomfortable, and I'm surprised they keep cutting away from it. It looks weird, and they're announcing who won, and I think it was Jim Carrey winning for the Riddler, and so he straight up just walks up chest out, he grabs the dude by the face, and they have to turn the camera, obviously, because it's two men kissing and it's the 90s, but you see Jim Carrey just plant one mouth to mouth, and when he's on stage, he's accepting the award, you see him wipe his mouth, and he's like, thank you so much for the award, and you see the guy run off all embarrassed.
Amazing.
Okay.
Amazing.
I don't know, I just didn't care for Jim Carrey. Hey, you know what, he's better than Jared Leto, so I'll give him that, but I don't know, didn't care for him in this, really not at all, so. But at least he wasn't freaking Jared Leto, so we got that going.
It was Cameron Diaz.
Is it? Oh, was that for The Mask then?
She was being kissed by Chris Isaac, and I think Jim Carrey won an award for The Truman Show.
Truman Show, yep.
That's a good movie. I saw that, and Liar Liar. So I think I used to like Jim Carrey. I just didn't, and I liked this movie when I saw it as a kid. I thought it was really good. I remember watching this years ago and thinking it was still good, and then I watched it last night and today, and I do not think it's still good. I'm a different time and place for me, so that's really what it is. I mean, this movie just is super fucking goofy, and I didn't like that. I guess I like my Batman more serious, and I appreciate what they're going for. Like, I appreciate that this movie is a comic book movie, and he's like, I mean, he even states that we look at the interviews, he's like, we're making a comic movie, so we're going to make a comic book movie. We're going to be goofy, and we're not going to make sense, and that's the point of it. And I don't like that.
Oh, so you're telling me you didn't like the part where Two-Face, who's covered in purple paint, puts on a weird, like, metal bar that drives a car into the helicopter, which shouldn't really work anyways, and they crash and they crash into the Statue of Libergotham.
We had a lot. My wife and I had a lot of questions about as we were watching it last night. One of which, of course, being, oh wow, the Statue of Libergotham. It's very funny. And I commented, like, how many of these young bloods have no idea what the club is? And to take it from our resident youth here on this show, having no clue that the club was a perfectly acceptable way of protecting your vehicle from theft back in the mid-90s.
That what he has?
Yeah, that's a club. It's
okay,
club.
I did not catch that, but I actually had a club because as a kid, I really liked my uncle. I thought he was a really cool guy. He had a club on his car. So I used to always play with it when I was in the car. So he actually bought me a club, and I had it in my basement for years. I don't know why you bought a kid a freaking club, actual club, but I was really happy about it.
I thought someone was going to say, where does Gotham get a Statue of Liberty?
That is a good question. Oh, I'm sorry. Say that joke again, because I totally stepped on it. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Where does Gotham get a Statue of Liberty? It's French Metropolis.
That's fair.
Yeah.
They actually mention Metropolis in this movie, too. They make a joke about it.
Do they?
Yeah. At some point, he said something about go back to Metropolis. Something about Metropolis. There is a comment about it at some point in this movie. I don't remember why or when, but there's a comment. I think, like, I know I've been complaining about Jim Carrey, but, like, the stuff before he becomes Riddler, I appreciated more, like, when he just, you know, gets mad at his boss and then decides to commit murder. So
again, all that. I like unhinged Jim Carrey. Before we continue on with anything else, we've been talking about actors and actresses for a while now. Everyone's forgotten, including the actor himself, probably, that Chris O'Donnell's in this movie as well. Hi, guys. I'm here. Oh, boy.
You're not going to like it when I get to Chris O'Donnell. I'll tell all three of y'all that right now.
I think now's the time. I'm going to set this volleyball for you.
All right.
Oof.
So
there you go.
So we were going to try to go beat for beat, but I'll go ahead and say it. So I was talking to my husband, and there's actually like 2 or 3 year old me had a very magical moment in this movie. And I remember being a kid and like being in the theater and seeing that moment. And it's the moment where Batman gets covered in dirt because Two-Face shoots him with a grenade or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And there's that part where Batman's reaching up and he's reaching up, and then Chris O'Donnell's Robin in the Robin, full Robin costume, reaches down and grabs him, and the music's flaring up and it's all dramatic. And I remember I'm telling my husband, like, it was a very magical moment for me. And it was the moment that we're like, I legitimately fell in love with this movie. And my husband looks at me, he goes, babe, that was your gay awakening. And I'm like, what? And he's like, yeah, think about just sweaty Chris O'Donnell picking up fucking Batman from that. I'm like, oh my fucking God, you're right. So yeah, this movie was officially my gay awakening, and that's why I love this movie.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Interesting.
Very interesting. All my wife said was, she's like, oh no, he's gonna have the costume on, isn't he? he's gonna have the costume on. I'm like, and sure enough, boom, then she goes, oh, come on.
Yeah,
she's very dismayed.
The costumes of the Flying Graysons, who consist of Father Grayson, Mother Grayson, William Grayson, who doesn't really ever exist, and Richard Dick Grayson.
I like how they say Richard, they don't say Dick. I was like, you assholes, like, he is Dick. He's not Richard.
I didn't want to say not Dick. Not till next one.
Oh, they actually say Dick in the next one?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
okay. To be fair, they never even refer to him as Richard either. It's just like, stop doing shit, kid.
Yeah, basically.
They also contradict, well, maybe not contradict the right word, but there was a lot of dumb thing that irritated me, where they're like, yeah, social services is going to come for him, and then they're like, yeah, but he's in college. If he's in college, that means he's probably over 18, therefore social service wouldn't matter. Like, he'd be an adult. Like, go. So, I don't know. That little thing bothered me. I'm like, he's a little too old here. Like, you don't know what you're going for.
Well, Yeah, on the subject of them not going, knowing who they're going for, this isn't Dick Grayson. This is like Dick Todd.
Oh, yeah.
Or Jason Grayson. Like, it is a combination of Dick Grayson and Jason Todd.
And Tim Drake.
A little bit of Tim Drake. Like, the costume is definitely more Tim Drake. I will say that.
That's what the internet told me, too, when I was looking at Google stuff.
But no, like, his quest for revenge and, like, just, I'm gonna fucking kill. Like, that's very Jason Todd.
Yeah. You're right, that is.
I really think Chris O'Donnell would have made a good Jason Todd if they would have just, you know, put their, you know, idea and let it stick. Because, oh, man, if we could have gotten a trilogy out of Schumacher and gotten Chris O'Donnell Red Hood.
Ooh.
Oh, man.
I did not like Chris O'Donnell in this movie at all.
He's barely in the movies. And he's kind of a bitch in the movie, too. So I'll give you that.
He is. Yes.
One of the jokes that the YouTube was telling me, and I didn't really think about that, like, oh, yeah, they gave him an earring because earrings were cool in the 90s.
Yeah.
Sure were.
That's not a joke. That is literally the reason.
I know.
And that's true, true, true. I never got one, but I had lots of friends who did. That was a big deal.
I had one.
I don't like needles.
Same. That's why I don't have any tattoos.
I will say I do like. As much as like it's always a kind of a Batman thing, I do think it is more interesting, and that's the reason. The other part of the movie that I like, I was explaining it to my partner and one of my friends, is I kind of like the idea of Batman not having a no-kill rule, but more of a no-revenge rule, and I feel like that's a little more broader and like different to where it actually makes a little bit more sense.
That's fair,
especially
yeah.
He doesn't kill. Well, I guess he does kill one person in this movie.
He kills like three fucking people in this movie. Technically this is movie three, there are four movies. I should probably go back and check. We're like on at the end of this movie, Batman's body count's a solid probably 15.
Oh, he killed a bunch of people in one and two, for sure. He freaking blows up a building of people in it on purpose when he's flying through for no, you know, he's killing people all the time. So and that was one of the complaints that they had to the studio was that they didn't like that he was killing people because they want to sell toys.
And Schumacher really didn't like the idea of Batman killing either.
Which I appreciate stuff like that. I did laugh that the big invention in this movie is 3D TV, essentially.
Yeah, basically.
That did make me laugh.
Especially since I was watching it on my 3D TV.
Did your fish come out too and come near your face, huh?
No, there's no 3D movie of this, Mike.
Ken wishes there was.
I kind of do, actually.
I'm here for that. I'm here for a 3D Batman Forever.
But, like, it is interesting that this predated the idea of glasses-free 3D long before the 3DS ever came out.
True, yeah. True.
I love Batman Forever in 3D. I can almost feel Jim Carrey's, like, package coming at me full fucking force.
This would have been fun 3D. I'll say that.
I don't know, man. The CGI already looks pretty rough in this one. I don't think 3D would have helped it.
No, CGI in this. CG looked better than some movies I watched that came out later, so... Mm. It wasn't too bad in this movie.
Well, that first scene where Batman's swinging down to the bank.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's fucking rough.
It ain't great. You mean when he's on that little, on the line, like going back and forth?
Yeah.
Those animations they stole for the Super Nintendo game of the same name.
Oh, holy shit.
Garbage game.
Not good. I remember renting that one. Wasted weekend.
Man, I should write a musical called Wasted Weekend. That'd be good. Anyway.
So we're talking about other stuff, and we're kind of bouncing around, which is completely fine. I also do like the Riddler's kind of motivation in this movie, where like he kind of sees his desk, and he's technically looks like he's the only guy fucking working there.
True.
He's got the weird lab where everyone else is at a desk. Yeah.
Yeah, but I do like that this kind of goes off the whole thing of Bruce Wayne's not a fucking psychopath kind of thing as well, because... You have a thing where he's talking to Edward Nigma, and he's like, oh, yeah, it's a TV, and you can read minds and all that. And Bruce Wayne goes, oh, that's just straight up unethical. We ain't doing shit like that. Meanwhile, if Bruce Wayne was your 2023 normal bigwig of a company, he would have not only told Edward Nigma that was a great idea, he also probably would have stole it.
Yeah, exactly. thank you. Yeah, please write this up, hand it to me, and then we're going to let you go next year. You'll be done. Thank you.
I mean, technically, they own it because you work for them when you come up with the idea, so that's how they would see it.
Yeah, that's how they got the inventor of Hot Pockets.
I do like how after he murders the guy, he changes the videotape so it looks like the guy just committed suicide. And then they just have the stupid letter. And the commissioner's like, yep, he committed suicide. It all checks out.
Oh, it's even weirder because later in the movie, fucking Bruce Wayne straight up goes, ah, he must have done this using AI. And I'm like, oh, that's weird.
I didn't catch that. But just, I don't know. There's just a lot of Jim Carrey was just annoying to me.
The whole obsessing over Bruce Wayne aspect of the plot was weird, right?
Oh, yeah, with Nicole Kidman, or are we talking about Jim Carrey?
Jim Carrey. Like, Nicole Kidman, I get it, dude. She's hot enough. She can obsess over whoever the hell she wants.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the whole Edward Nygma wanting to be Bruce Wayne so much that, like, he copies the hairstyle, the suit, the mole.
I love the mole bit.
Oh, I love the mole.
It's great. But like,
I feel like that was a fucking Jim Carrey, like all that shit where like he's trying to be him. I feel like they were like, oh no, just comb your hair and wear the suit similar. I straight up feel like Jim Carrey was like, oh, I should add a mole and we should wear the same glasses.
Yeah. And put them on and take them off at the same time.
It's a very clever beat. It really is.
Yeah. Like psychology. People will tell you that mirroring someone's actions is a way to show romantic interest in them. So going back to what you said earlier, Joe, yeah, you're right. This is gay as hell.
he really wants to be Bruce Wayne. It's not something that I thought about when I watched the movie until I watched a YouTube that made comments about that. Like when he introduced himself and he doesn't say his name. He says Bruce Wayne's name instead. And then Bruce Wayne's like, well, that's my name. What's yours? Like little things like that are supposed to kind of show that he doesn't have an identity, really.
He even comes up with his own secret identity, just like Bruce Wayne.
Yeah. Except his, like, design desk phase was probably worse. I don't think Bruce Wayne was like, I should be Flying Mouse Man. No, that's stupid. Why would you think that, Bruce? That's dumb.
Okay, I was upset when he does the question mark, and they could have went with, I could be the question! And they don't even go with that joke.
That's fair.
I mean, the audience that would have got that joke in 1995 would have been very, very small, but I would have appreciated it in 2024.
Oh, man.
I'm like, no, the question. Like, you have it right there.
I want to see the question adapted. DC, come on, James Gunn, make it happen.
Yeah, come on.
I'd watch that.
They'd write it off.
Need more fascist superheroes. Now that Peacemaker's, gone soft.
I like the question. I'd be up for that, but not gonna happen.
Even weirder though, what is it? There's like weird little tiny pictures around, and there's a point where they say, "Oh, we're calling him the Riddler," but it looks like the Riddler already exists in that universe because Edward Nygma has a bunch of like Riddler paraphernalia.
Yeah, he has a toy on his desk, looks like a Funko Pop. He's got the freaking thing in the background that's like a fortune teller. Yeah.
Oh, the Zoltar from the movie Big.
Basically.
Well, there's also a little poster that has the Riddler outfit and everything underneath when he's looking at like his love photos of Bruce Wayne.
I didn't notice that.
Weird.
I like the costume for him the first time you see him as Riddler when he has the hat on and he goes to Two-Face. I like that until he takes off the hat and then I'm like, okay, I don't like this anymore.
The pink hair.
I also because that Riddler looks a lot like the Riddler from the Batman animated series, which I prefer.
Okay, fun fact trivia time. The guy who voices Riddler in the Batman the animated series was the voice for the French dub version of this movie.
Get out of here. Interesting. Yeah. Okay. That's pretty cool.
So that's fun fact.
So am I going to have to see this animated series? Am I going to have to like...
You should.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
Surprisingly good.
Okay.
Very
much so.
Still
holds up in 2024.
Okay.
Like it is so some of my favorite characterizations of Batman villains come from the animated series.
Yeah.
People love this animated series and I feel like I'm completely in the dark because I didn't watch a lot of stuff.
Really good. Just don't watch the Batman and Harley Quinn movie that comes out way years later in 2015. You can skip that. That's okay.
Yep. You absolutely can.
I like this.
But they're Two-Face? Mwah.
Yeah, no. The Batman anime series really sets like what the where the villains are and the way that I expect them to be in a certain way. And Two-Face is not a goofy clown in that, and it bothers me.
It's interesting that existed when this movie was being made. So for them to go so far afield, that's interesting. I didn't realize it was made at the same time that News 92 was the animated series.
Yeah, animated series is really good. It's on Max for now until Zaslav decides that we can't pay for it anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Until they just take it off for Why Not? Because screw you. You can't have nice things.
It's like, we had to pay Tim. We had to pay that guy a penny. Take it off now. Tax write off. Like, who knows? Fucking. But no, it'll be going off Max at some point. But yeah, no, it's very good and definitely worth watching. And I feel like the thing that Chase gives Val Kilmer, the little like voodoo doll type thing, that really made me think of a Batman animated series episode. Because I know there is one where they get something like that mind trick, that like a mind trick or whatever the hell I'm looking for.
So a dream catcher?
Yeah, but it's, yeah, they put it into bed and then it ends up mind controlling them. Can you know what I'm talking about?
I don't remember the episode. Okay,
but it also reminded me of Two-Face because it's black and white. It really reminded me of the way Two-Face is in the Batman animated series because he's black and white costume, blue face. But another thing I didn't know about Two-Face till this movie, I was watching YouTube, I didn't realize that in the original comic, the way he becomes Two-Face was at a court where they spray him with acid. I never realized that was the actually canon thing. That was
why was Batman there? Full costume.
I don't know.
Good question. I've just come to watch my friend do court. He's my friend.
Costume.
You never know what's going to happen.
He was like, Spider-Man, he just ripped off his hoodie and puts on the mask and jumps out. Yeah.
What else have I got to do on a Thursday afternoon? Me and all the old ladies, we go to court and just watch people get arrested.
I'm actually next up on the docket for stalking.
Oh, another thing that I want to mention that I did like is when he's with Chase Meridian, he has the Rorschach photo and he's like, it looks like a bat. And she's like, people, we see what we want to see.
It's a bat. It's a bat, Chase. Look at it. Could you see that? It's a bat.
I saw a bat.
I shouted at the screen last night. I shouted at the screen. I said, it's a bat. Look at it. Come on. Don't give him crap for being a bat. It's a bat.
I do like how she's so against Bruce Wayne at first and just so wants to fuck Batman. And then when Batman shows up at midnight, she's like, nah, I want to fuck Bruce Wayne now.
But it's weird because she's like, she's very, my wife said this. She said, my wife said and asked, and she doesn't know much about comic books. I don't know nothing about comic books. She probably knows more than I do. She's like, is every woman in the Batman movie or a Batman series insane? Are they all insane?
Yeah,
is there one sane woman in Batman's life in the comics? Or I've played the games. I'm trying to remember. I think there's a couple of women in the games that are sane. They all seem insane.
Oh, he's got a type. Batman likes women that you know, make him feel that he's in danger and all other goofy stuff. And don't forget the most important thing. Batman's famously known for fuck fighting, where he fights his enemies on the rooftops and then they have sexy, steamy sex. The Bat Cowl stays on during sex, Bill.
That wasn't in this movie.
Of course it does.
Jeez, Mike, shut up.
Oh, another thing I want to talk about is the circus. The YouTube video I was watching, like, they were talking about how, like, it's just body, like, for the guys that are beating the drum, or just bodybuilders painting in gold. They're like, this is something, you know, it's just, like, very silly.
If that wasn't your first hint, this movie was gay. There's your first hint.
Really.
No, I know, really. No, I brought it up.
Absolutely love the circus. Like, Val Kilmer mangling the word circus is always been one of my very favorite things about this movie.
It's very good. It is extremely good.
And like, I actually, there's a host of trivia, bar trivia around the Kenosha area. And like the first time we were talking, we bonded over our love of his pronunciation of the word circus. So this movie has accomplished good things in life, I swear.
The stuff with the Flying Graysons, it just, I mean, I laugh because they're all wearing the costume, original Robin.
Yeah, didn't got you.
Yeah, I thought that's how it was in the comic, too.
No, I can't remember.
In the animated series, it's not.
No, in the animated, I'm not counting the anime. I meant like actual comic. Boy, if only I was sitting in front of a computer where I could check.
Yes, a world of information at your fingertips.
Then I will go off on a tangent while Ken looks for that. I still think the funniest fucking moment of this whole circus scene is Harvey Dent setting up to where he, you know, stuff's happening and he wants Batman. And he's going to hold the circus hostage in order to figure out who Batman is. And while everyone's screaming, Bruce thinks it's a good idea just to go, I'm Batman, like over 500 people. Like, come on, Bruce, you fucking know better.
At least he can say he tried.
At least he can say he tried.
Wait, did he actually do that in this movie?
Yeah.
I did not catch that.
He must have been snapping. That's a big part of it.
I probably
that's
why was.
Yeah, he when Harvey Dent comes in and says, maybe one of you pacey face twits is Batman. He jumps up and shouts, I'm Batman. But he waits for everybody to be in a roaring panic before saying it. And no one can hear him over said roaring panic.
That's stupid.
It like comes out as, Harvey, I'm Batman. And
then, really
but he tried. He tried.
It's the most half-hearted attempt at self-sacrifice in movie history.
But also, they wouldn't have believed him because you need proof. Oh,
yeah, exactly. And
the point of Batman is to catch you in the costume, not to have you just say, I'm Batman.
All right, you got me, Harv. I'm good.
But he's so good at saying, I'm Batman. Really That's is. All Batman does is say, I'm Batman.
And then I didn't realize how cartoony it was with that whole bomb that he has to like push it out of the roof and then into the water. And those it's just 6 seconds on the timer when he climbs out of the roof. It was way longer than 6 seconds before that bomb goes off.
Oh, damn right it was.
I was like, you really couldn't just have showed the correct amount of time it's going to take him to do this, not just give me a time to 6 seconds and then lie to me? Like
six.
It goes six, five, and then it just.
Five.
Yeah, it doesn't end.
Four, almost. Yeah. It's a very belabored count towards the end. Well, you have to have a delay in the bomb to just make things dramatic. I don't know. It's the whole circus thing is just reminded me how much we don't need circuses anymore.
We even have circuses anymore?
Yeah,
we do. I've said this a number of times on this show. I know that for a fact that we don't need circuses anymore. There is a relic of a time gone by, and we just don't need them anymore.
Well, they don't have the animals anymore, but they still have, you know, people gathered under a tent watching, you know, people perform feats of daring do and risking life and limb as they climb upon things. And
you said a key thing there. You said tent. The second that word a tent is involved, I'm out. I want nothing to do with it.
If it can't be in a
building, then don't do it. Unless you're camping. Then, all right, fine. People camp.
Philistine. Unbelievable.
I
haven't been to a circus since I was a child.
I haven't been to a circus since like 2 years ago.
Have you actually been to a circus within the last 5 years?
Yes. Why do you think I was so vehemently defending the circus?
Why? So wait. So, okay, Ken. For once, mark it down. I have nothing. I have no words. I have no words for this.
I want your wife to hear just this one part. That's all. I just want your wife to hear this.
Well, so why did you go to the circus?
Because it looked like fun.
Okay, so now the question becomes, was it fun?
Yeah.
Was it?
It was circus. Basically a combination of a talent show and like stand-up comedy. Like you got the ringmaster doing the jokes. You got people doing crowd work out in like the crowd. You got acrobats. You got daredevils. You got magicians. Okay. It was fun.
Okay. You know what? I can't picture it, but as long as there's no animals being abused horribly.
There were no animals at all.
And then okay. All right. Then and it's more was, of a variety show. Fine. Here in Austin, Texas, if you ever come to Austin, there's a I think it's still around. I hope it is called Esther's Follies. It's an oldie time vaudeville act where they have like a variety show where they do singing and skits and magic. It is really fun, extremely kitschy. And if you come to the Austin, Texas area, I do recommend going to one Esther's Follies. It's like old school Austin. It's been around forever. And so that's what this sounds like almost like an Esther's Follies, kind of like a vaudevillian experience. Circus for me equates to animals, and that's where
I get that completely. That's what I was thinking too of a circus is with animals, but I'm glad they went away from that because it's not fair to the animals.
It was gothy and everybody was hot, so I was not upset.
Fair. All right. Listen, you know what? I'm all about new experiences. Anyway, sorry. The circus though in Batman Forever, yeah, it's pretty silly. But it's
it ends with a Batman 89 joke.
Really? What was the Batman 89 joke?
Some days it's just hard to get rid of a bomb. That whole bomb falling into the harbor was a Batman 89, the movie joke, where Adam West is running around with a bomb all around the harbor, and he can't throw it anywhere, and he throws it in the ocean.
Oh, 66.
Oh, yeah. My bad.
Okay. Oh, 66. Okay.
Wrong.
Yeah, you said 89. I was like, wait a minute. What?
I forgot that word. Yeah, I forgot.
Creating a time paradox.
Batman always drops a bomb. He drops a bomb in Batman 66. Robin drops a bomb here. That's how Batman... The Dark Knight Returns or whatever the fuck that movie is. And
Dark Knight Rises.
Were bombs on the Batmobile in the 89 Batman when the shields were on and all the Joker goons were shooting at the Batmobile.
That's true.
Robert Pattinson drives to try to stop a bomb from blowing up his house.
Yeah.
I have not seen the Batman.
You should watch the Batman.
Is it good?
Big TV, dark room. Perfect.
Yep.
Okay.
Dark room. Okay. Cannot emphasize dark room enough.
Yeah, no, I watched
both
it.
Both of those things at my disposal. Very nice.
I didn't have a good experience, but it was not in a dark room. So it was hard to see.
Surround sound.
Yeah, I'll put on the good headphones and make it even
easier. Yeah, you don't know what I've done. Right. I need to rewatch that movie.
Yeah, you
do. One thing that was stupid in this movie is like the thing with way Robin gets his name. Well, he has a helmet with a Robin on it. I'm like, who the fuck is wearing a helmet with a Robin on it in the first place?
Okay.
They set it up okay. They set it up.
It is way better than, that's my real first name.
Yeah.
See, I don't know what you're referencing, but I think I do.
What he's referencing? Yeah.
Oh, damn that. I saw that movie once in theaters and I left upset. Have never seen that movie again.
One day.
Oh, it's coming.
Yeah.
We're running out of live action movies with Batman, so it's coming.
But, like, I'm fine with this. Like, it's fine. And having it come from his family actually makes it mean more.
Okay.
I actually like it. I think that's actually a perfectly fine explanation for it.
I just don't like Robin in this.
Oh, no, because Chris O'Connell's not good.
Stumbles into the Batcave and, like, slides in. He's like, and just waves to Alfred. I'm like, this is stupid.
Yeah, because it's not Dick Grayson. It's fucking Jason Todd.
Now, what you see, you shouldn't be mad about Chris O'Donnell sneaking to the goddamn Batcave. You should be mad about Chris O'Donnell sneaking to the Batcave, and he slides all the way down on his voluptuous ass, and then it goes intruder alert, and then everything pops up, revealing that Bruce Wayne's Batman.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you. That's so good and funny. You're right, because everything is like, oh, hi, intruder. Well, you clearly worked really hard to get in here, so let me show you everything. That's so funny.
So the way I also took that is, which is also, you could take it as that, even though it's still a stupid scene, is that Dick broke the entrance because he kind of slides on his ass and kind of hits the door on the way in. So it might have, like, half-clicked kind of a way in. So I could have took it as an intruder alert, but also, someone's coming down the stairs.
Let me prepare the Batmobile.
Yeah.
Turn on all the gizmos and gears and gadgets.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No, I just like it being dumb. I just being dumb. It's good.
I like it being dumb, too. It's okay.
I like Robin normally. I don't know. I did like, there's a joke in here where, like, he's like, I could be Nightwing. I'm like, that would have been better.
Because Nightwing's a real character, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's Dick Grayson, when he gets older.
Gotcha. That actually hit me this time because I think I've seen played because Nightwing they're in the Arkham games at some point, right?
Yes.
I believe you play as Nightwing.
Arkham City.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do you guys feel about the? We're now 3-for-3 for the Batman remembering how his parents died.
It didn't need to be here.
With the pearls and the flowers and Jack Nicholson.
It's flowers.
Not Jack Nicholson this time. It's not Jack Nicholson, right?
No, he's definitely got more hair.
It's supposedly Two-Face. Doesn't he say Two-Face killed my parents?
No, Two-Face killed Robin's parents. That's supposed to be Jack Nicholson. That's supposed to be a young Jack Nicholson as Jack Napier.
I took it as same as Bill when I watched it.
I was too busy not paying attention because I was actually looking up. It was the NHL trade deadline when I was watching it. So I was keeping a strong eye on my beloved New Jersey Devils doing nothing during the trade deadline except waste my time. That's what I was doing.
With the confusion about who killed Dick's parents was left over from the movie that we should have gotten, but didn't. Because he was having a hard time reconciling the fact that Batman's just making things worse. Like this whole movie was originally going to be so much better. And Warner Brothers fucked it up.
Yep. Of course they did.
Like they do. They're because McDonald's. A big part of it was McDonald's pulling their money.
It's so weird to think how much power a fast food chain had at this time.
I think I remember when we'll talk about this with Batman and Robin too, but wasn't there a whole thing where they had to get approval for the vehicle designs from all their corporate sponsors before they even finalized it for the movie? Like it got to that level of tomfuckery and
apparently not because the Batmobile is just a big dick.
Well, it would have been even worse if we'd gotten the design we should have gotten. Artist H.R. Giger did a design for the Batmobile for this movie. And
it's ugly.
they shot it down quick.
Oh, yeah, I saw a picture of that. That is ugly.
Have you seen it, Bill?
I have not seen this.
Give me 2 seconds.
It's ugly.
Thank you.
I'm okay. Like, this one looks a lot like the one we have from the 89 movie, but just different enough. And I don't understand why they didn't just do the same one since it's the same universe, but I guess new toys.
Yeah.
Well, I don't care for this Batmobile. I don't care for anything with it. I don't care for when Robin boosts it. I mean, okay, the part where he's talking about it was funny. He's like, he stole the other car, the Jaguar, the other car. And he just, you know, it takes him 3 tries to finally, like, oh, okay.
Oh, that car. Get out of here.
Ah, yes.
That thing is heinous, by the way. good lord. Yeah, not great.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
I'm glad we didn't get that.
I think it's fun.
He's talking to Alfred on his Wayne Tech watch. You know, Wayne Tech, the most mass-produced thing. Just like how when kids ask for a new video game console. No, they don't want to. They're not getting a Game Boy. They're getting a Wayne Boy. And they're getting a Wayne Station. If the Riddler makes the Riddler box, who will watch Wayne brand TVs?
Oh my god, it's gonna be the N-Box. It is the N-Box! Oh my god!
One part to me that okay, to go back, like when Robin steals the car, that whole scene is just bonkers. There aren't like this should really be a key sign. Like, why is who is this guy who got access to the Batmobile? That's not Batman. Oh, and
it gets even better.
Didn't get better.
The four ladies of the night during that scene. That's actually R&B supergroup En Vogue.
Is it really? Get out of here. Get out of town. That's funny. My comment was, I forgot that Dick Grayson, when he escapes and goes joyriding the Batmobile, goes to, I don't know, pick up a prostitute. Huh. I did not realize that. I completely forgot about that. I guess it must have bounced off of my innocent 14-year-old brain or whatever, how old I was when I saw this. But yeah, okay.
Makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
It was funny, though. You know, he rescues the girl, then he's like, you know, then he has to get a kiss, and then he gets just attacked by these random thugs that are all wearing black, like, face paint for some reason, it looks like.
Oh, we're I actually think that looks really cool.
It did look cool. I'm just confused here.
Because it looked cool. I think I actually really like the black light paint makeup they're all wearing, and I think it looked really very fun, very comic-y, I liked it.
Well, here are two of my issues, which is just goofy shit in general. Dick opening up the Batmobile and them going, oh my god, that's little boy. Wrong. That is a 25-ass-year-old man who probably has money, so you probably shouldn't tell him to fuck off. And two, they should have went, oh my god, isn't that Dick Grayson, the kid whose parents just got killed by Two-Face? Oh my god, Bruce Wayne is Batman.
Yeah, they really didn't put two together on that. That's a very good point. Really, we're not exercising their critical thinking. Yeah, good point.
Speaking of people, like, I had forgotten that Drew Barrymore was in this movie at all. Like, I saw her in the credits, and my wife like, oh, Drew Barrymore's in it? I'm like, I have no fucking idea who she is until I saw that scene where you have Drew Barrymore, and I don't know the other woman's name in this, that plays like the dominatrix-looking actress.
Debbie Mazar.
Yeah. Good actress.
I feel like this awoken something me for childhood Mike. But yeah. I'm like, I like this scene. I was like, oh, because she has a whip at one point. I'm like, I see. I like what you're doing here. It's just funny, too. And like, Val Kilmer Batman trusts Drew Barrymore, and she takes out the green vial. This is how you power down the machine. And he just lets her keep it and goes inside the machine. I'm like, are you that stupid?
No,
he doesn't let her keep it.
She pulls out another one. Yeah.
Not as dumb.
Yeah, she gets it to him as kind of like a thing of, oh, I can't turn it on while you're in there. But
okay.
Yeah, you see that she's with Enigma, so you would imagine she probably has a couple of spares around.
Yeah, good point. I got her and the other woman are just fucking hot, though, in this. Like, woo. I mean, you can tell this movie was made for kids, all right? Like, that would get a lot of boys very happy. So I'll take it.
It did.
It did. I forgot it was Drew Barrymore, too. I'm like, wait, that's Drew Barrymore. Dang, okay. Yeah, I kind of forgot about that. But no, it says, listen, work with what you got back in them days. Pre-internet, yeah. Did anyone notice Jon Favreau's in this movie?
No.
He is?
Yes. He plays assistant number two when Edward Nygma is talking with his boss. No, when Edward Nygma's boss is walking into the factory with Bruce Wayne, he is one of the assistants in the background. It's John Favreau. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Give it a look. Give it a look. See online. It's a very charming. I was just looking through the wiki before this, and I saw John Favreau as assistant number two. And yep, that John Favreau.
Oh, that is nutty.
Yep.
Wow. Okay.
I do appreciate all the set designs in this movie and how they really went for the very gothic Gotham. Like, I do appreciate that. I mean, it's crazy and it makes no sense, but not as bad as I know it's going to get in the next movie we're going to talk about at some point. But I did appreciate it in this film. It wasn't too much.
It's this one is very more Art Deco and not as gothic style, I personally think. I'm fine with the gothic style. I'm fine with this style, honestly. Like, you can tell that, you know, Blade Runner had something to do with this movie. Neon and everything, like...
And Batman the Animated Series.
And Batman the Animated Series. Like, it is... It looks good.
Oh, Facebook can hear us, by the way, because I just opened up Facebook real quick to check, and then all of a sudden, the first thing I saw was a Batman Forever post picture.
Lovely.
Facebook hears me.
That's weird.
It was Nicole Kidman and Val Kilmer. I'm like, that's just strange. And it's posted from 6 days ago from every random group I'm a part of. And I'm like, oh, that is really strange.
Yeah. We should also... Oh, go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I also like how, continuing off what you were saying, Bill, we also kind of get back to the part where he's talking, like, it's the whole scene where Bruce is talking to Ed and they're doing the whole thing with the file and all that stuff. Is everyone in Gotham just a fucking freak? Because there's literally a woman talking to him and then she goes, oh my God, it's Bruce Wayne.
Oh, that is the best one. Oh my God. Eddie, how does it feel to be Gotham's most eligible bachelor? Ugh, it's Bruce Wayne.
And the Jim Carrey, again, he is very good. Like him or hate him, I still say he's good because he has that little moment of he's about to self-assuredly give his spiel until Bruce Wayne. It reminded me a lot of Hammer in like Iron Man 2 when he's constantly getting one up by Tony Stark. Everywhere he goes, he can't get a leg up on him. It had very strong vibes of that.
That's fair.
One of my stupid complaints, and this is a stupid complaint, is like when Nigma ends up opening up this big building and he has an island, I want it to be 5 years later because it doesn't make sense that all of a sudden he has his whole corporation and he's selling his TV everywhere. And like, again, that's a really me looking for logic in a stupid movie. Like, I was just like, where, you know, I want time. It doesn't make sense.
No, he bought the island, you know, Gotham, where there's, we talk about Gotham, where there's 6 abandoned circuses and there's 30 cryo factories and there's 10 plant shops and everything's cat themed. And
I know, it was one of those things that bothered me for some reason. I mean, again, it's stupid. Talking about stupid scenes, and I forgot we're in this movie that I'm watching, the part when Robin is doing drying his clothes.
Oh, that part's so hot.
Yeah, I don't know what to talk about. Like, that part is hot as fuck.
That's another part where I'm like, yep, you can tell what he was going for. Yep.
You mean when he was doing his laundry?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's so oddly placed though, because you're in this moment where you have your two villains who are having just look like they're having a ball. Again, professionals, clearly they hated each other, but they're having a ball, doing heists, creating hijinks, making jokes, and then we cut to a very boring Chris O'Donnell doing a very boring thing and then trying to make it cool because, again, the movie's trying to show us that he is adept at martial arts, too, because then it won't make any sense that he can beat up a gang of thugs or attempt to beat up a gang of thugs later on. All I could think of was getting the floor all wet. Like, what are you doing? There's nothing worse than wet floor. Like, why would you do that, jerk?
I thought the same thing, Bill, when I was watching. Like, why is the floor wet?
You're just going to smear it, though, with your dirty mop. Just hang it up to dry. Let it drip dry. Like, why would you do it that way? And when you wrap it around your gross foot, is it your shirt? I hope it's your shirt. I hope you're not doing that to my shirt, wrapping around your gross feet, putting your feet all on my shirt, nicely cleaned out of the laundry. Don't do that.
But he's hot.
Yeah. I didn't catch that piece of it. I didn't. I didn't catch that side of it. So for me, it was just an annoying child. Not child. Annoying.
He's supposed to be a child.
Supposed to be a child, right?
Because they make comment about social services. They make comment about he has no family, nowhere to go. It's like he's a ward of the state. And if he's in college, he's over 18. He's not a ward of the state.
Whole thing. And then so you have that scene. It ends. And we're right back to the fun stuff. And I'm like, what? This scene is very oddly placed. Like, just in case you were concerned while you're having fun watching our bright, you know, neon-soaked Art Deco smashing of things and stealing of things and jokes while we're all having fun, I know in the back of your brain, you're wondering what's up with Dick Grayson right now. Like, you're wondering what's up with Chris O'Donnell. Is he having a good time? Is he acclimating to the Wayne Manor? Is he doing his laundry? Yes. Yes, audience. He's doing his laundry. In a very snazzy way, by the way. Don't get me wrong. Okay, we're all good? We now have cabs on Chris O'Donnell? Back to the fun stuff. It's just a weird placement of a scene. It just really stuck out.
Stuff that was deleted that would have been more to go along with that scene.
Probably. I don't doubt that, but I'm examining the film as presented, and no, it just really sticks out weird for me.
Now, Alfred does look at him like he's an asshole for that, though. I will give him that. But my God, that smirk and wink just melts my fucking heart. I can't. Honestly, that's what did it.
Yep. No lie detected.
And then you have the very gay scene where it pulls up and it's the Riddler and Two-Face robbing banks and he teaches him how to throw a punch, and Jim Carrey's in a full-ass tiara and Two-Face is wearing earrings.
Yep.
I don't know who, but I know I'd be pissed if I was Jim Carrey and I went around doing all this shit and you're watching the news and the news goes, Gothamites are calling him the Quizzler, and I just go, God damn it, I tried so fucking hard.
Like, I was also during that scene, he puts the cane between his legs. There's just so many things that now that I look at it with a different light, I'm like, I see what you did there.
Yeah, it's definitely seen some up close is what I'm saying.
I like it that he got this in there in a time where it wouldn't have looked favorably upon if people were to catch it as much in the 90s.
Here's the thing with Joel Schumacher. If you watch The Lost Boys, another Joel Schumacher unapologetically gay movie.
Super gay movie.
Like, that was earlier. And that movie is arguably more gay than this.
Never seen it for some reason, actually, which I find weird.
Changing that, Ken, we're changing that.
Lost Boys for Spooktober 24. Let's make it happen.
Mm-hmm. I'll be honest. I think I've seen it a thousand years ago. I don't remember much about it. So I this would be a relatively new viewing for me as well. So
okay, it's on my list. It's always been on my list to get around to because it's mentioned in pop culture a lot. I know I tried it once. I thought it was stupid and turned it off. So
no, that's fair. That movie is fucking stupid.
This was like 15 years ago.
In the best way, though.
Yeah.
I'll be
that would be an interesting one. I have not thought about The Lost Boys. But yes, that was a Joel Schumacher joint. Yeah.
And like, okay, we've talked a lot about this movie. We haven't really talked much about Joel Schumacher.
We should.
No, we haven't at all.
Like, Joel Schumacher is a special sort of cookie. Because, well, like, okay. So he directed these two. And these are like probably the, I don't want to say the worst movies on his resume, but the least well thought of.
Yeah, fair. That's very fair.
Because, like, he's done some amazing things. Like, he directed, he was the writer for The Wiz.
Yep.
On the subject of The Wiz, Michael Jackson was really trying hard to be the Riddler in this movie.
Was he really?
Yeah.
I want that. Get out of here. Okay.
That would have been wild.
That would have been weird, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, he directed St. Elmo's Fire, which is, like, a seminal 80s Brat Pack movie. Lost Boys, Flatliners, Falling Down, The Client, A Time to Kill. It's unfortunate that these movies drag down a very impressive filmography.
I mean, even Falling Down is so fucking dark. Like, he could have done a dark Batman movie. That's not what he was here for. Not what he's hired for.
He wanted to, though. He wanted to do one.
Yeah, but WB was like, no.
And, like, he's done one of the flat-out most disturbing movies I've seen called 8mm.
Oh, yeah. That's, yeah.
Woof.
Woof indeed. Oof.
Oh, man. Oofa loofa. Like, I would love to cover that for the podcast someday.
That would be a hard one. That'd
never
be,
seen it.
Oh, boy. It's something.
It's
Nicolas Cage, right?
Yeah.
I haven't done a lot of his movies. I mean, hey, who knows? Once I get on certain kicks, I just keep going. So who knows?
And it's written by Andrew Kevin Walker, who wrote a little movie called Seven.
That's a good movie.
This is very similar.
Yeah.
No, shoot. I mean, he's a good director. And that's what I was thinking of when I looked at his filmography before we did this. Like, you are right. It is kind of sad that these two movies really drag down his reputation. But again, this is something where his very studio had, like, this is what we want, and we're hiring you to make what we want.
Yeah.
I mean, these are good. Like this, I can't say these. I haven't seen, but this is a good kids movie. Like again, I remember liking this when I saw it, and I was probably like 6 years old or so. And I remember, like, you know, I did enjoy this movie. I just didn't enjoy this movie this time because I'm older.
I was also going to say, yeah, Joel Schumacher did Phone Booth, which is a movie I will actually defend. I
like that movie when I saw it the one time.
It's a fun little movie.
I've never seen it.
Neat.
Not once. That's why I liked it.
Worthwhile.
Yeah, like, Joel Schumacher's done some great stuff.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is dark. Very, some of it subtly to overtly homosexually charged. Like, he's a man who is proud of who he was.
Very proud.
And he was not shy about it. And you know what? Fucking good for him.
Yeah, good for him. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you can't completely knock him. And it's a shame. You're right. You have a very good point. You're right. He has a very large body of work then, and it's a shame that most people remember him for Batman and Robin. And which, when you're doing, and as we've kind of stated already, he didn't have a ton of control in these movies anyway, especially once we get to Batman and Robin. This is all studio controlled work for hire at this point. Yeah. You know, he's just cashing a check and having a good time with it.
Yeah.
Like, you need to chill out.
Next time.
I can't. This is going to be a hard one. This will be a hard moment. That's going to be challenging. This was fun. I had a good time until they started talking, until Nicole Kidman and Val Kilmer start speaking to each other. And then it's all over.
Full horn.
I loved Nicole Kidman in this movie, and I don't normally like that actress, but for some reason it just hit the right notes with me in this movie. And it's simply because she was just hot and horny and fucking. I'm like, I'm in. I'm just 100% in for this.
It's funny because people used to make fun of that in this movie, how Nicole Kidman really wants to fuck Batman. And back then, and even like, I say back then, I mean when the movie came out, and then a decade later, people thought it was weird. But then I now go into a whole thing where it's now 2023. Fucking Batman isn't that weird, because currently people want to fuck, and I quote, let me see if I have it written down, skeletons, dragons, and that one looks like President Trump, but I'm not going to ignore that one.
But like,
you know, there's a whole bunch of people that would be okay with it, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, monster don't listen fuckers to me talk, are like, so common. Wow, did not expect to ever say monster fucking on this show, but hey, whatever.
But no, I mean, wanting to fuck Batman completely makes sense. I mean, she's a psychologist who, she really reminded me of, my wife made this comment, she made her think of Harley Quinn, because she's a psychologist essentially at Arkham.
My wife actually made a similar parallel. She asked, she's like, does she become Harley Quinn at some point? And I'm like, I don't think so.
That would have been a cool twist.
Right? But you're exactly right. My wife had the exact same thought. She's like, yeah, isn't Harley Quinn, you know, same kind of obsession with dangerous people, like that sort of thing?
Yeah, I mean, it just, was Chase Meridian even a character from the comics before this or anything?
Nope.
Okay,
nope.
Probably not since.
Original to this movie.
Okay. I don't know. I really liked her. I didn't mind any of the talking between her and Val Kilmer, even though Val Kilmer is boring. She was just hot in this movie, and I was like, okay, I'm here for it.
Sometimes
that just happens to me. I'm just like, yeah, I'm just all for it.
Until the Batman, the record was unbroken. Nicole Kidman was the first person to kiss Batman in the costume in the movies.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah, cool. Everybody else was Bruce Wayne or partially out of the costume.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I like it. The climax of this movie, like, so later on throughout this movie, at one point you have Riddler and Two-Face. They figure out that Bruce Wayne is Batman because he thought about bats in his little TV thing. So they go to his manor, they abduct Chase Meridian, they blow up the Batmobile and fuck up the Batcave.
Imagine if Bruce was just hungry whenever he walked in there, and the first thing on his mind was actually just like, hamburgers. Then he wouldn't know he was fucking Batman.
Like, I would never go in something that projected my fantasies. Oh my God. On a television outside the booth?
No, thank you.
Y'all aren't ready.
No, I'm with you, Ken. I make that joke to my wife sometimes. I'm like, yeah, you don't know what my brain thinks all the time. You don't want to.
So, like, I'm pretty cool on the outside, but inside I'm a goddamn monster.
All right, guys.
That's what separates the sane and the insane. You keep all the crazy inside and you don't let it leach out into the world, and then it's fine.
All right, guys. I need to watch the Ken and Sanity cut of, what is it, Hellraiser, just shove them in the mind reading booth. That way I can just be like,
oh, if only they would give me a Hellraiser movie. I would make it big gay like it's supposed to be.
But we also go into backplaying this a little bit. We go into this whole thing where Bruce just kind of goes like, he finally, like, I guess, indulges himself and is like, oh, yes, Chase, I am Batman, here to give you whatever you want in the middle of the night in your tiny, tight little white dress. And she goes,
it's not even a dress. That's a sheet she's wearing. She's
that
ready
sheet
to fuck,
is
okay?
Naked down on her. Like, Nicole Kidman is not wearing clothes underneath that sheet.
That wasn't a nightie? I thought that was a nightie.
No, that's a sheet.
Oh, no, that's just a sheet.
She's ready to fuck.
But she straight up goes, no, I think I'm in love with Bruce Wayne. And I love the him turning around and giving a big goofy, like, oh, you like me.
But again, it fits the character in this movie because, like, he makes a comment, like, I never loved a woman before. Like, he's not there emotionally, so he's acting like you would act like as a teenager.
He's not acting emotionally at all because it's Val Kilmer pretending to be a stone-faced, being a terrible Bruce Wayne. I cannot overstate how bad he is in this role. How, Kenneth Sanity, you're a man of distinction and taste. You can't tell me Val Kilmer is a good Bruce Wayne.
I'll you can't tell me he's a good Batman.
I think he's okay. He's a fine Batman. I think he's fine. He's perfectly workmanlike as a Batman and in mentality. I think he does the voice well. I sell him as Batman. He is an abhorrent Bruce Wayne.
I'm gonna say something inflammatory here.
Okay.
Very inflammatory.
I love inflammatory Ken Sanity. Go for it.
Bill, you won't be affected by this as much. Mike and Joe might punch me in the face.
Fantastic.
I think Val Kilmer is doing the best live action version of the Batman, the animated series, Batman Bruce Wayne combo.
Oh, okay. That's just fucking rude, sir.
No, I think I'm right.
I disagree completely. I'm with Joe.
I also disagree.
No.
So two against one.
Ken, you're getting the bonking stick now.
I have a degree. Your two against one doesn't mean shit to me.
Fair. I've got the bonking stick, Ken. Well, I've got a gun. Well, then have a good
You know, one thing that was lost in this movie, Two-Face never had two guns.
That's a lie.
He does. He has two guns at one point, doesn't he?
He has two guns at Riddler's party when he walks in.
Yeah.
And screws everything up.
Because he blows in both barrels at the same time.
Yep.
And I'm like, that would be cool if he did one or the other. I actually thought of that.
I was so excited because I thought he didn't. And then I watched that part and I was like, oh, fuck, it's going to happen.
I didn't catch that.
Oh, yeah, and they're two different guns, too. One's like real shiny, one's like all dark.
Yep.
That's cool. Damn it.
You guys missed the most important one. He actually says a line. There's a part where he's fighting Robin on the fucking roof and he kicks the gun away and he goes, I've got you now, Two-Face. And he goes, two guns. And he shoots at Robin.
He does.
I did not. Where was I?
On your you were Marvel. Like,
snap.
Marvel snapping. Probably, that's what you were doing.
Oh, man. I would have made jokes. I would have came prepared with a two gun bitch joke.
It's okay. I did.
I'll work it in.
That's all right. We'll make up for it with the court. Wow. Could that sentence have stumbled out of my face in a more clumsy way? Let's re-rack that and try that again. The Robin more than makes up for you missing that joke with his lovely little holy rusted metal Batman joke, which
that line's so forced.
Which
that
was gave funny, though. Which what? Pardon? Hang on, let me clean my ears out.
I laughed at it because it's a reference to the stupid 66 show.
I can't.
It's terribly and it's stupid, but because it's a reference to something I dislike.
Why does Robin's voice get high all of a sudden as soon as he becomes like real Robin? Like his voice goes up an octave higher, as if he's trying to be the Robin from the 1960s TV show. Did anyone else catch that?
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Ken, are you fucking okay?
No, I'm not okay.
Terrible for him.
Do you hate Batman 66, Mike?
I don't like it. I think it's stupid and bad.
Unfucking believable.
I've never really watched much of it, but I don't like it.
I think he might leave the show. I think this might be the straw that breaks Kenneth Sanity's back. I don't think you have to apologize after this.
Oh my god. All right, everybody, keep an eye out for my new podcast, Games My Dad Found.
I just never cared for the show. But again, to be fair, I don't like campy. I don't like a lot of comedy in general. So that all plays a part in it. No, I just never cared for it. But I have never watched it as an adult.
I've watched it as an adult. I think it's fine. It's fun.
I didn't care. When I was a kid, I would see it off and on. I'm like, this is stupid. But I have never checked it out since.
I love the fact that the Joker in the 89, the 68 or 68 Batman never had to shave his mustache. They just painted it white. Yep. It's very great. I think it's fantastic.
I love that so much.
I love it so much. It didn't matter on a small little, 13-inch Zenith in 1968. Sure, it matters now on a big old 55-inch.
But I do want to see the movies that are based on this on that show someday on this podcast, just because. Maybe I'll change my tune.
There's movies based on that?
I think there is.
Yeah, there's the Batman movie. Batman the movie.
I have not seen that.
That's a whole comic line, too.
Yeah, that came. I do want to see that someday just because, and covered on the show, because I'm trying to do all of the Batman movies. So, and then maybe my opinion will change, but we'll see.
Oh, it's okay. Wait till Ken starts yelling at me for defending not one, not two, but all three Christopher Nolan Batman movies.
They're all good.
Yeah, two are really good. One is garbage.
No, I disagree. Rises is really good.
Maybe this year. Maybe. I've been thinking about it.
I haven't seen it since I saw it in theaters when it first came out, and I don't remember. I remember liking it okay, fine. I remember thinking it's a really good Bruce Wayne movie. I remember walking out of there thinking this is a great Bruce Wayne movie, but I don't have a ton of opinion on it, so I'm looking forward to revisiting.
So one important thing I get at, because we're getting towards the end of the movie, you kind of have Bruce, Batman doing his whole thing, we're going up the hole, and then Robin fights Two-Face and all that. So we get what I feel like is supposed to be the meat of the movie, where like you can tell stuff is deleted because there's numerous things deleted. That doll doesn't really get explained very well.
No.
And then you have the whole thing with like Bruce trying to come to terms. And so you have the whole thing where, they do this, but the original Spider-Man choice, which is, will you save your woman or will you save your dick? And then he goes, I choose to save both.
You had to say it like that, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. And we also see the Riddler, Jim Carrey, go absolutely goonified.
Is that the phrase we're using?
Apparently, goonified.
He's got goonified.
Oh, God.
You come back and he looks like fucking Smeagol.
Yeah, because all the brainwave stuff hits him and he kind of loses it.
Yeah. What is with that? Please, someone explain this to me.
Yes. Bruce told him it wasn't tested, and so what do you fucking get?
Like, but why? Blowing up the lamp caused it to what? Suck the brain out? Put too much brain in?
Too much brain in. He got too much head.
No such thing.
I always chalk that up to the giant box building was kind of controlling the flow of information into a safe level. And when they smashed that, it kind of like broke the dam open and he got flooded. His brain got overloaded with brain waves, causing him to go cuckoo ka-choob. So that's how I always, as a kid, like rationalize that. As an adult, I know that sounds stupid and it makes no sense why smashing the thing would either A, reverse polarity his brainwaves, or B, turn him into a rambling psychopath.
No, that makes sense, actually, because if you think about it, it's kind of like a two-way thing. There's a radio tower on top receiving signal, and there's a radio tower below sending the signal. So if you knock out the bottom part, yeah, it's like ripping out the bottom of a cup.
And again, I think this is a good Jim Carrey moment when Batman approaches him after breaking his toy, which, again, that whole sequence makes no sense. Why does he need the sonar? What's the point of the sonar? Is it so he doesn't get hit by the what? Why is it? Why
do you need a sonar? Light. That's how I took it.
Why do you need a sonar batarang? And there's two holes. Do the two holes just combine to one so they both die in the same thing of rocks? And if that's the case, then they absolutely would be able to save both of them. Like, none of that sequence.
It's the same. Yeah, it's the same hole.
Any sense. But how he would have had plenty of time.
It's
to
also the same hole that he climbs out of, because you can see the broken thing down there.
Right. That's
which makes no sense because the location of where they're at and I was thinking about that. Like, this isn't correct.
None of the sequence makes sense. And the big thing for me was, sorry, I lost my train of thought. I completely lost my train of thought.
That's stupid.
I guess that's
all I was kept thinking. I'm like, this is just dumb. Like, I was thinking when he hits the lamp, he was taking the lights out, and that's why he did like the sonar thing, because he's turning off the lights, but then it never really gets that dark.
Yeah, and it doesn't get really that dark, and I don't understand why he just say, all right, well, just drop them both, because clearly you're going to, and then just drop down the hole and save them both. Like, there's no, I don't know. It's a very odd sequence that I think, again, stuff was probably cut. But I do like when Riddler is at the very end there, he's muttering to himself so many questions, which I guess could imply one of two things. It could either imply that he's lost, that the reverse happened, that he got all his his intelligence sucked away. So now his brain is just rattling around with questions, which is very scary. Or all the good things, all the filtering is gone. And now he's filled with everyone's fears and anxieties, not just fantasies. I always took it as the latter, where he's kind of filled with everyone's fears and anxieties. And he basically is like the guy from The Crow. 30 years of pain and misery in 2 seconds. Fries his face.
Nice one. That's fair.
So that's how I always took it.
We also missed like probably another thing too, which I think is actually another interesting part of this movie. You actually have the Riddler give like an actually really solid plan, which is like, who are you up to, the Riddler? And he's like, oh, I'm just going to fucking steal the mind of everyone so I can get all the info I need. Banks, credit cards, lies, sexual fantasies, which I'm surprised.
I did laugh at that.
Surprised they got away with that in this movie. Then again, I'm not surprised.
It was PG-13, so I think that's probably how they got away with it.
Kid-friendly movie, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, kid-friendly doesn't mean adult unfriendly, though. So
right.
Like, hey, remember RoboCop was a kid's movie, okay? There's video games for it, and there were toys. So, hey.
No, RoboCop was a cartoon, and there were toys based on the cartoon.
Which is based on the movie.
But we skip over my favorite part of this movie. Ken, can you guess what it is?
Oh, gosh.
That's right. It's the bat loophole. Everyone knows the bat loophole.
Oh, the bat loophole.
The bat loophole. Loophole so big, it's bigger than the Grand Canyon, to which Batman saves both his dick and his girlfriend. And Two-Face shows up threatening to shoot his dick and his girlfriend. And Batman goes, well, don't you want to flip your coin to see who's going to shoot first? And he goes, oh, yeah. And then Batman remembers, funny enough, which is also a cool callback, Chase tells him at the beginning of the movie, why don't you just keep a bunch of coins around whenever you fight Two-Face? So I guess that also is a really cool callback that I think people miss. So when he flips the coin, Batman just goes, eh, and throws a bunch of coins, and he falls. And then Robin goes, I thought you said not to kill people. He goes, no, I said for you not to get revenge. I just don't like Two-Face.
Okay, but like Batman doesn't kill him.
Batman just confuses him greatly to cause him to then stumble and fall.
Batman takes advantage of a person with mental health issues and lets them kill themselves.
Right.
Remember, I can't kill you, but doesn't mean I have to save you.
Bat loophole. Which is even weirder because he just proved he could save two people by falling faster than they could, so he could easily save Two-Face. But he literally went,
He knew Tommy Lee Jones didn't want to come back.
I really love how you put that. I just love. He just has this little underarm toss. You're right. Just fling 50 coins now, and yeah, it's fine.
And but, yeah, my big problem is that this is something that has been done to Two-Face for far too long. Like so many people do that. It has been done several times across different media. Yes.
Yeah, in the comics currently, Two-Face spray paints his coins because most Gothamites know to keep at least a handful of quarters on them at all times.
See? Two-Face really? Finally getting smarter.
I'm kidding. That's a joke, but...
I can see it.
Damn it. I was really hoping Two-Face was getting smarter.
No. They're all crazy.
Fuck.
He's a giant cartoony Pokemon coin from like the card game that he flips in the air. He's like, I got y'all beat.
It was funny, he just falls to his death. There is one thing that we completely forgot in this movie, or we haven't mentioned yet, where Riddler says, joygasm, for no reason whatsoever.
We didn't forget it, we were ignoring it. Well, at least I was.
It's one of the more regrettable Jim Carrey lines. He's not perfect in this movie. Definitely some of it you can skip.
Yeah, and then I'm trying to think anything else we should mention about in that final scene. Like, it's just, do they have a bat boat, and then he has the bat wing, because the Batmobile got destroyed, so now he's got to fly other vehicles. And the whole thing, like when Robin is in the Batboat and they're playing Battleship, that was just weird and funny at the same time.
I like it, actually. I think it's very cute. It's a very cute way of taking on the two of the lamest things you can think of. The bat plane is always kind of fun, but the bat sub, the bat boat.
It's not even a sub, it's just a boat.
Well, it's a bat's boat that turns into a sub, I think. Right? Doesn't it go underwater and then he just shoots himself out? Yeah, I don't think that was my choice. It will become a sub. Yeah, I think the idea is it comes a sub and then he quickly jettisons the sub to save Robin from the goons that have surrounded him with their net.
That whole scene's full of fucking goofiness, and I'll go for it beat by beat because I have several jokes for that. I think the fucking question mark was probably the coolest part. I know it's supposed to be a logo for the movie, but it's still a really badass thing to turn.
Nope.
Like it is cool.
Yeah, the bat signal into a question mark. Sure, I'm glad that Commissioner Gordon went, oh, no. Joker is taking over. Now we have to do our job. And you see Batman fly through the fucking green. And they go, yay, we don't have to do our jobs now. And he gives him a big bat thumbs up.
Stupid thumbs up.
Yeah, that was funny. They shake hands.
Thumbs up.
Like, oh, yeah, we did a good job.
Yeah, and they're cheering like, yeah, we don't have to work today. Go get him, Batman.
Go get him, Batman. We're going to go back to bed.
That's we're out of overtime anyway for this pay period. So thank you, Batman.
And then Batman goes, good thing you know how to drive a boat, Robin. And he goes, drive what now? And then he gets blown up.
Very true. All correct statements.
Oh, Lord.
And then
go ahead.
At least they were trying to think what else. Right after that, there's not a whole lot that happens in this movie. That wasn't Tim Burton, was it, in this movie? That's Dr. Burton?
No.
Okay.
It was an homage to Tim Burton.
Oh, okay.
Because he was a quote-unquote producer.
Okay.
Quote-unquote.
Yeah, quote-unquote, as in, I invested some money in this film, and I am going to stay three continents away while this disaster is being made and have nothing to do with it. Yeah, not a single authorial note is, other than maybe this scene, which is actually one of the creepier pieces of imagery in the scene, which is great. I love it, of course. Fun fact about the actor who plays Mr. Burton, he is in Deep Space Nine.
Oh.
He plays Odo.
It's Odo? Rene Auberjonois.
That's for...
Yeah.
Oh.
That's Rene Auberjonois.
And then again, when I know him, he looks a lot different, so...
Yes.
Yeah, I love him so much. He's such a good actor.
He is incredible. He's very good. And he is fun in this. Jim Carrey does his very best crazy Riddler. I'm the Batman. That used to actually terrify me a little bit. That scared little Bill Tucker way back when. It was scary. Of course, now I'm just overcome with glee. A lot of fun.
I mean, that is fair.
And you
I say, you know what, Bill, you want to do me a huge favor? Before you watch The Batman, you should watch this, then watch Robert Pattinson's The Batman and just see how fucked up it is comparing one Riddler to the other.
Is it really? Okay, fair.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah, there couldn't be any more different.
Interesting.
But also the same.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, I'm looking forward to it. I like Robert Pattinson as an actor. He's done more good work than bad.
Agreed.
God, have you heard him in the Ghibli movie, The Boy and the Heron?
I've not.
No.
Go look up the English trailer, and he plays the Heron, and you will believe that is not his voice coming out of that goddamn character.
Okay, interesting. Cool. No, I think he's got some chops, and I think he was. Yeah, I like Robert Pattinson. So,
The very end is just Chase goes in the limo with Alfred, and she tells him that he doesn't know that you're Batman. He doesn't remember. That's why she's at Arkham.
Yep.
And you see them running off into the center of the movie as silhouette.
Yeah.
And then you hear wang, doom, doom, ta-ka-ta-ka-ta, bam, 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 bam. We haven't talked about the soundtrack yet.
No, we have not.
That's a perfect segue.
Hey, listen, there's got to be a reason why I'm here. There has to be. Yes.
Real quick, I was going to say, that's how I also know I have a weird gay taste in music. Fucking Kiss from a Rose from this fucked me up.
Kiss from a Rose.
Good song.
Fuck the nation up.
This was a big deal soundtrack in an era where movie soundtracks were not the score, but the actual soundtrack that came with the movie was a big deal. I owned it. Everyone I knew owned it. It was a big deal. Kiss from a Rose was a number one hit. Kiss from a Rose won a Grammy. Didn't Seal win a Grammys thanks to that? That song, almost positive. That was a big hit.
Likely.
I kind of like Kiss from a Rose. I think it's kind of delightful.
Oh, no, I love it. Actually,
that song.
Kiss from a Rose won 3 Grammys.
Yeah, I was going to say, it won like 3 Grammys. That was a big deal song.
Best male pop vocal, record of the year, and song of the year.
Yeah, good old Seal, who never did another song again. And he did a lot. Actually, Seal did a lot of music after that, but no, I don't think he ever had another proper hit. Fun fact about Seal, he was on The Masked Singer. I think he was like season 4. There was a period. Yeah. Seal was on The Masked Singer. He made it almost to the end. He almost won his season.
What?
He came in second or third, I think. The Masked Singer.
What? That is a goddamn disgrace. Like, put some respect on his name. Seal is fucking awesome.
Seal is a good-hearted dude. I think Seal, I'm going to mess this up, and I apologize. You're listeners can refute me if they want. But he's like a really good-hearted dude. He's doing a lot of stuff for charity. He does a lot of charity shows. I almost got invited to a charity performance of his in Austin, and I couldn't go for whatever reason. I got invited because I was doing a lot of music writing at the time. I almost got to see him perform at like a charity function, and I was very upset I couldn't make it because I was like, I want to go see Seal perform. I'm totally into this.
He was married to Heidi Klum for 9 years.
Yep.
He's had a bunch of great songs, like Crazy. Crazy's a fucking awesome song.
Crazy's a great song. Ruggedly Handsome.
Yeah. In the pop star movie.
Yeah.
Fighting off wolves. Can't go wrong.
Yeah. No, you see, he does a lot of charity stuff. So Seal, don't make fun of Kiss on a Rose, because that's a damn good song.
Good song. I'm sorry. I was listening to it.
It's a great song.
Just now, I'm like, that's not bad.
I had to like dance around because I was getting a little nervous, like, oh no, are they going to kill me for really liking this song?
No, fuck no, that's a jam. No,
fucking love that song.
As the kids say, it's a bop.
It is a bop. Is it a bop or is it a vibe? That's more of a vibe to me.
It is more of a vibe. Hold me, thrill me, kiss me, kill me. That's a bop.
That's a bop. And that was U2's big comeback. And that was a big U2 comeback moment too, right? I don't think they were fully back yet.
I think they were still suffering from the pop album.
Yes.
At that point.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So this was a big deal for U2 to come back. And it was the first single off this soundtrack.
Yep. That was the big single was Kiss Me, Kill Me, Throw Me, whatever it's called, which is a perfectly fine song. I like it. I remember that being all over the radio. You couldn't escape it, and you couldn't escape Kiss from a Rose. So yeah, those were two big deal songs. I kind of like The Offspring. The Offspring's on that. That's pre-Ixnay Offspring, yep. Like Smash era Offspring.
This was the first cover. Offspring I remember hearing, actually.
I was a big Offspring guy when Smash came out. That was 94, I want to say, when Smash came out, Self-Esteem and all that.
Mm-hmm. But you got some weird ones on here, too, like PJ Harvey, Mazzy Star, Method Man.
That Method Man song is not great. The Nick Cave song is real good.
Nick Cave song is great. Michael Hutchins covering Iggy Pop is superb. I love Michael Hutchins so much. I miss him every day. And then Sunny Day Real Estate for some reason.
Were they on that? Oh, I missed that. Okay.
Yeah, they did 8.
Okay.
Fucking. Okay.
Good. Sure. It's a really good soundtrack. And we'll talk about Batman and Robin soundtrack. Evidently, Ken's favorite band, Smashing Pumpkins, which is literally was when I was a young lad, my favorite band of all time, Smashing Pumpkins. Very, 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 very into that band. Hey.
That's all I got to say.
That's fine. I'd listen.
No one's got taste. Their own stuff.
Hey, well, that's it. No one's ever said I have to taste.
We're going to go to Shelf Stacker Box, so I have to run.
Soon. Oh, I'm sorry. You're fine. Longer than expected. Go for it, man.
And Bill, what about you? Why don't you go first?
So I am going to, this is a perfect stack movie for me. I like this movie. I have a lot of history with it. I have a lot of personal history with it. I've seen it a dozen times. But this is not a great movie, but it's a movie I can skip through. There's like 45 minutes worth of joy here for me. And in this world of horror and despair that we're currently embroiled in, I'll take 45 minutes of joy. And I like some of the performances. And this is a perfect stack for movie for me that I was kind of skip through to the parts I like and skip all the boring Nicole Kidman, Val Kilmer nonsense.
All right. And Joseph.
This is go ahead and going on the shelf. Like I said earlier, I pretty much described how much I love this fucking movie and of obviously Gay Awakening. So, totally shelf.
All right. For me, it's going in the box. I just didn't enjoy it. Too goofy for me. Still a decent movie, but it wasn't for me. And what about you, Ken?
I'm putting this in the stack. Like, Jim Carrey almost made it a box for me, I'm not going to lie. But everything else, it's fine. It's good enough. I'm not going to watch it like I do the Nolan trilogy or the Burton movies or the Pattinson. But, like, every once in a while, I might get an urge to throw this one on. Just, for goofy, over-the-top Tommy Lee Jones. Like, it's worth it.
All right. Well, and right before we go to plugs, I should say this was brought to you by Patreon. So go join our Patreon, little dollar, you vote. You get to make things like this happen. And then you will hear, I think you'll hear this in late, I think it's March, early April, I can't remember, I think March. And then you'll hear Batman and Robin, I think, in May. So that is coming. We are doing that, unfortunately. So yeah, you'll hear this in March. So. You can. That's when you'll be hearing this, and then May you'll be hearing Batman and Robin. Unfortunately, so
yeah.
And Bill, where can people find you at?
Up, Gamer Looks at 40 is my podcast, a nostalgia-based, nostalgia-centric video game, retro video game show. I'm in the middle, or just starting out, on a Final Fantasy series that's going to take a good long time. So if you dig Final Fantasy, definitely check out the show. Lots of cool stories. So please check out A Gamer Looks at 40, and thank you as always for giving me the chance to plug it.
Of course. And if you enjoyed this episode, there are over 600 other episodes of this podcast. You can find everything we do on Podbean. If you want to hear more Batman, the show notes will have all our Batman episodes right in there. You can go and click on those links and be directed to all things Batman. And there's a ton of Batman, thanks to Ken mostly, and Joe. Both of them. So go check out our giant thing with that. You can search on our catalog. We've done Star Wars. We do all sorts of stuff. We do movies, comics, TV, video games, whatever people convince me to talk about or I convince people to talk about with. And like I said, you want to support the show, Patreon, please join our Discord. You see the link in the show notes and join our Discord and chat with us. And want to give a shout out to my awesome intro and outro courtesy of Elena at Hell Hats, where you can follow her on TikTok, Twitch, Instagram. You'll see the link in the show notes. And check out Nomads of Fantasy and the 10 Domain podcast. And please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Threads, Blue Sky, YouTube, audio only. And please rate us wherever you listen to us. It helps. I think that's everything I need to say. So we will see you guys all next time. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
So long.
Yeah.